This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
It's Monday the 15th of April. In your Squiz today, Bondi bands together, Iran moves against Israel, a curfew countdown in Alice, and Wrexham wins again. This is your Squiz today. Claire, it's hard to know where to start after Saturday afternoon's stabbing attack at Bondi Junction's Westfield Shopping Centre. 6 people have died, and yesterday PM Anthony Albanese, New South Wales Premier Chris Minns and local federal member Allegra Spender laid wreaths near the mall. Albanese said that it was a tragedy that should never have occurred.
So far, 5 of the victims have been named. The first to be named was Ashley Good. She was a 38-year-old mother who was at the shopping centre with her 9-month-old daughter who was also stabbed. Her baby is in a serious but stable condition in hospital. Dawn Singleton was the 25-year-old daughter of John Singleton. He's quite a well-known Australian businessman. There's Jade Young, who was an architect and a mum of 2. She was remembered yesterday as a much-loved member of the Bronte Surf Club. There was 55-year-old Prakia Dacia. She was an artist and a designer. She was named quite late last night. Also, 2 security guards who were on duty are also victims. One was named yesterday as 30-year-old Faraz Ahmed. He was a refugee from Pakistan and he was on his very first day of work at the shopping centre.
And, of course, the killer has been named as Queensland man Joel Couchy. Aside from the people he fatally stabbed, there were 9 other women, 2 men and, as you mentioned, Claire, a 9-month-old baby who were also injured and taken to hospital. Their conditions vary from critical to one who has already been released. As for what happened at the shopping centre on Saturday, it was terrifying for shoppers.
Yeah, so authorities say that Couchy arrived at 3:10pm. He left and then he returned 10 minutes later and he started stabbing shoppers. There was a lot of panic. If you've seen any of the video coverage from inside, you can see people running, trying to get to the exits, also running into stores where they could shelter behind locked doors. What ended it all were the actions of police Inspector Amy Scott. She was in the area and was able to respond to calls. She shot Couchy dead after she chased him down and then he turned the knife on her. Police say that they don't know what his motive was. They say there's nothing, though, to suggest a political or a religious motive. What they do know is that he's a guy who moved to Sydney from Brizzy last month. He'd come to the notice of law enforcement, the police commissioner said, in New South Wales, also in Queensland, for mental health related issues. But they say that they didn't know him as a criminal.
Yeah, and what police say is that they've launched an investigation into the attack, but that could take some time. And Couchy was known to be interested in guns, so there's quite a bit of relief that he didn't have one. Yesterday, the PM said it's an important reminder of how important it is that we do have strong gun laws in this country. Claire, the other big story around over the weekend is that Iran launched what US President Joe Biden has described as an unprecedented attack on Israel. That's prompted the United Nations Security Council to hold an emergency meeting this morning.
Alice, all these concerns over the last 6 months that this might become a broader regional war, this is really what it all comes down to. Mm. And those attacks were Iran following through on its threat of retaliation against Israel over a deadly strike on Iran's embassy in Syria. You and Siobhan spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. It was widely believed to be an Israeli attack, although they hadn't fessed up to that. Israel Defence Forces Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari says that Iran launched a full-scale attack that involved more than 200 drones and 10 cruise missiles. Israel has what's called an Iron Dome defence system. That means that they were able to either block or have the Israeli military shoot shoot down most of those drones or missiles.
Reports say the main targets were military bases, and Hagari says there was minor damage reported at least one of those. Israel has promised a significant response to the attacks, and US President Joe Biden says that he's reaffirmed America's ironclad commitment to Israel in a phone call with PM Benjamin Netanyahu. If you're a squizzer who listens to Kate and Claire on Saturday's weekly wrap, you will already be all over Alice Springs' youth curfew ending early tomorrow morning. And as the town prepares for that deadline, there are questions about what happens next.
Yeah, thanks for the plug for that, Alice. It is a helpful podcast to get you across what's happening in the week ahead. And we did cover this one off. That deadline coming tomorrow has, as you say, left many questions, particularly given there was an early morning home invasion yesterday morning in the town's suburban east side. Police say that it was particularly violent. There was a woman who was hit in the head multiple times before the attackers, who were able to smash their way in with an axe. They stole car keys, they took a car, also jewellery, a laptop and cash.
Yeah, despite that though, Chief Minister Eva Lawler says there's a plan in place to prevent the recent violence in Alice Springs from escalating again. She says 25 extra police officers will be based in the town for at least 11 weeks, and a second group of 10 SA police officers will help them over the coming week. We and many others have spoken about the now famous Wrexham Association Football Club many times, Claire. And it scored another major goal over the weekend with its promotion to English football's third tier division.
Yep, this is a story that's even had a TV show made about it. That's certainly when I got on the Wrexham bandwagon, I think. What happened yesterday is that Wrexham scored a 6-0 win against Forest Green. It's a side from Gloucestershire. The last time that the Welsh club made it to League One was 15 years ago. So it's been a long time coming. It's quite a prestigious league. It's only two tiers away from the Premier League, so they're really hitting the big time. Of course, as you alluded to, Alice, Wrexham has been on a bit of a winning streak. It, of course, has the backing of Hollywood actors Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney. They bought the club back in 2021. They've infused it with a lot of cash, which brought sponsorships, also international audiences, and doesn't hurt that they've got just a touch of star power.
Yeah, a lot of star power. And they have been absolutely delighted by its success. After the weekend's win, Reynolds said that he and his co-chairman in crime, who also celebrated his birthday over the weekend, were having the ride of their lives. Claire, also sparking joy, because I think we need a little bit of that today, was the extended Bluey episode that dropped yesterday. And by all accounts, it was a hit.
Did you get up and watch it, Alice?
I did not watch it. I need to get onto it.
Yeah, get onto it. I certainly did yesterday morning. And look, Kate and I were also focused on this in News Club last week. The business of Bluey is a whole thing. Mm-hmm. Estimates are that it's a $2 billion business. And when you look at the global distribution deals and all the merchandise, it certainly stacks up. But for millions of people yesterday, it was all about the quality of the content, and the reviews are in. It really did hit the mark. There was a lot of nervousness about this episode because Bluey's usual format is 7 minutes, and the episode that landed yesterday was four times that. And like everything the Bluey crew do, it was a real hit with critics and audiences. So it seems that the sky's the limit for the Healer family.
Yeah, so before it aired, Bluey's executive producer, Daley Pearson, said it's no secret that this episode is kind of testing how an audience will go. So the question, I think, Claire, is whether there's a feature-length film in their future.
Yeah, for real life, it's going to be amazing.
Squiz the day, Claire. Is there anything to mention?
Look, there's a lot of news around this week. Probably the one that's going to be in the news the most for us Aussies as we head in today is the Bruce Lerman defamation case. We're heading to a decision today, so watch out for that.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll update with that tomorrow. And that's it for us today. And while we have you on some kids' content, Squiz Kids is back at it today. So make sure you pop over to their channels in your podcast app and have a listen. We'll be back with you tomorrow.
Hi there, it's Bryce Corbett here from Squiz Kids. It's been a big couple of weeks for news, and one thing that's emerged is the increasingly concerning role that mis- and disinformation are playing in the wake of big news events. It's why there's never been a more important time for our kids to be taught to be critical consumers of media. It's also why we created NewsHounds, a fun 8-part podcast series with accompanying classroom workbook to teach primary school kids how to spot misinformation when they come across it online. It's already being used in over 2,000 classrooms around the country. To make sure the kids in your life are among them, get their teacher to head to squizkids.com.au and sign up for a free account. You're very welcome.